Hi, this is Steve Hall. Thanks for joining me in the Bible study today. We are finishing up a study we started in Acts chapter 3 and 4, and we've reached verse 21 in chapter 4. So let's pray, and then we'll read a few of the background verses there before verse 21. And if you want to hear some commentary on those, you might want to check the previous podcast. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read it. Lord, we again take it very seriously because it is your holy, infallible, inerrant, living word. So I pray that we will listen well and understand what you're saying to us today as we study your word. So would you please be our teacher? Would you please fill us with your Holy Spirit and enable us to be good listeners and have teachable spirits? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember that Peter and John had been going to the temple to pray, and they met a lame man there who they'd probably passed many times before, and it seems as if God had spoken to Peter in his heart and said, today is the day for this man to be healed. So Peter, as an act of faith, the man did not appear to be expecting to be healed. He certainly wasn't asking to be healed, but God healed him anyway. And he's using this to get attention. People all around are coming there. There are a lot of people there because it's the time of the afternoon prayers. And so they're rushing up to Peter and John. And Peter and John tell them about Jesus. And they warn these people they must repent in order to receive the blessings from God. Of course, the religious leaders of the time are very disturbed, very upset, beside themselves. And yet they're in a struggle because here's the man. He's been healed and he's standing right there. So they tell Peter and John, don't talk anymore about Jesus. Don't talk anymore in the name of Jesus. Just shut up. And then Peter and John answered them and said, this is verse 19 of chapter 4, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. We looked at those verses for just a few moments, and then we left off, though, at verse 21, and that's where we're picking up now. And when they had further threatened them, so they're still threatening, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So the impression we're getting here is that these religious leaders would have probably been, if it was just up to them, they would have probably been very, very happy just to get rid of these disciples, put them to death. But God has given his followers great favor in the sight of the people. And the people are praising God. I mean, how can you argue? This is a good thing. Here's a man who's been lame all his life, 40 years old, and now he's healed? And he's walking around, running around, praising God? Of course, people are excited about this. And so the leaders know that while the things Peter and John are saying and doing are actually hurting these religious leaders, you know, they're hurting their influence. At least at this point, they realize it's going to hurt us even more if we do anything to harm Peter and John, not with the attitude the people have right now. So they thought, we can't do it now. So verse 23 says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So they go back to their own. This is natural, isn't it? I mean, isn't that what we would do? They go back to their Christian brothers and sisters, and they give a report. And the report leads to what ought to be a perfectly natural response for believers, I think. And that's a prayer meeting. So verse 24 says, when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, here's what they prayed. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. So they start with praise. Good place to start. It's a good place to start any prayer, isn't it? Helps us stay focused on the power and sovereignty of God. That's what they're doing right now. They're just reminding themselves in the presence of God, okay, Lord, if you can handle creation, I think you can handle this. You can handle these threatening religious leaders. Verse 25, still praying, who through the mouth of our father, David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, and now they begin to quote the second psalm. I mentioned it in the last podcast, but here they are quoting it. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's Jesus, of course. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. So they're praying and saying, God, here you are fulfilling the prophecy you made in the second psalm through David. And they're saying, Lord, you're the one that said it through David, second psalm, and it happened. Just like you said, the rulers did gather together to oppose you and your anointed, Jesus. But of course, all they could do was what God had predestined to take place. That's in verse 28. To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. God predestined this from the foundation of the world. It was going to happen. They couldn't stop it. They could rage. They could shake their fist in the face of God. They can say, we're going to oppose God. We're going to shake off his bonds. But they cannot stop God. That seems silly. In fact, back in Psalm 2, it just says God laughed at them. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. It's always fascinated me, probably you too, that here these guys are praying for boldness. They did not pray for safety. They did not pray for protection, at least not first. They didn't say, Lord, would you please get us out of here? We've had enough of this. It's probably a little bit difficult for us to imagine what it was like to be threatened by the Sanhedrin. These guys were very intimidating. They had great power. They could essentially make sure that you were put to death if that's what they chose to do. Some of our brothers and sisters who live in militant Islamic places or militant Hindu places can identify with these people. In the flesh, I think it would have had to be terrifying. I mean, these believers had kids and grandkids and husbands and wives just like we do, moms and dads. They had families. And the threat, the danger is, humanly speaking, very, very real. And what do they pray for? Boldness. And I think that implies that they knew that they were susceptible to fear. Just like we would be, wouldn't we? We'd be very susceptible to fear in a situation like that. They knew they needed courage. They needed boldness. And of course, that means they need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. So they won't lose the love, they won't lose the joy, they won't lose the peace, they won't lose the self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit. And we may not yet, here in America, 2016, face exactly the same kind of intimidation they face. It's not quite that severe yet here, is it? We're very thankful for that. But we do live in a nation that is giving up ground to our enemy, the devil, at a breathtaking pace. And we do live in a nation, this would have been unthinkable just a few decades ago or just a few years ago, where people, when they talk of religious liberty and they write about religious liberty, more and more you're seeing them put it in scare quotes. Isn't that weird? They talk about religious liberty and they put it in scare quotes as if there's something weird about religious liberty, as if people are asking for something that they shouldn't be granted, like there's a disconnect with what our Constitution says, and they're beginning to call religious liberty just a mask. They're saying it's just a mask to hide bigotry. It's just a mask to hide hatred. And in the face of this, we need the same feeling. We need the same courage and boldness that they needed. They're asking also for healings and signs and wonders. We've talked about this some. Let me just say a couple more things about that. There are some wonderful sharp Bible scholars who believe that all the healings and signs and wonders stopped when the New Testament was completed, or at least virtually all of it. And there's some others who also seem to be very serious Bible scholars who believe that the church should be experiencing the same kind of thing today that they experienced then. In other words, they say, we see no reason in the New Testament why these things would have ceased. And I've already expressed my own personal belief, but I'll state it one more time briefly. My own personal belief is that these kinds of miracles were primarily needed in the days before the New Testament was completed, because these people didn't have a New Testament authoritatively to look at. They didn't have God's Word like we do. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament. And, of course, this was also before the apostles sealed their testimonies with their blood. Once the apostles sealed their testimonies with their blood, once they died rather than renounce what they knew to be true about Jesus, then it was obvious to the next generation and succeeding generations that Jesus really did rise again. That was obvious once they died rather than renounce it. They knew what they'd seen. They'd been with Jesus. But that hadn't happened yet. And so it seems that God provided those kind of miracles in abundance in those days. And of course, he's the same God today, right? He's not changed. He's able to work miracles today just like he did then. So if he decides to do it, I sure don't want to be the one trying to tell him, hey, God, you're not supposed to do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. The days for that are over. Don't you realize that, God? I don't think so. I don't want to be the one. I want to be open to whatever God wants to do, even though it seems clear to me that he's not doing them in the kind of abundance that he was doing in those particular days for the reasons I've already mentioned. And again, we have to be very discerning. I want to stay open to God, but I sure don't want to be open to satanic imitations. That means we need to develop some discernment. Remember, there are ditches on both sides of this road. Well, in verse 31, we read God's answer to the prayer. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Isn't that beautiful? God just says, I'm here, I hear your prayer, and he shook the place. Very reminiscent of what he did on the day of Pentecost, isn't it? He just got their attention, and he filled them with his Holy Spirit again, and they, empowered by his Holy Spirit, continue to speak with boldness. The prayer's answered. God is awesome. Thank you, Father, for this passage. Thank you for these two chapters that we've looked at this past couple of studies. And Lord, thank you so much for showing us how your kids behaved in the face of great opposition. Thank you for their prayer for boldness, setting an example for us. We pray for it too, Lord. Would you give us the courage and boldness we need at the moment when we need it the most, when the threat begins to get loud and great and strong and scary? Would you help us in those moments, Lord, to be courageous, full of your Holy Spirit, and speak with boldness? Lord, we want to speak with love. We want to speak with grace. But we certainly don't want to be cowardly. We don't want to be fearful. We want to be courageous because of the power you give us in the name of our Lord Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for what you're going to do. We realize, Lord, that however dark the days get, the morning's coming. We realize there's coming a time when our Lord's going to return. We realize there's coming a time when you're going to set up your kingdom. And all the bad stuff, you're going to just do away with it. And Lord, how thrilled we are that you've given us this advance notice that you're going to handle it. You're going to take care of it. So thank you, Lord, that even if we go through some suffering now, and even when we go through death in this life, that we have nothing to fear. And we look forward to that great day of resurrection. We're going to be given our new bodies, glorified. We're going to be with you forever. We're going to be in a wonderful, wonderful place and setting. Thank you, Lord, for promising that. We look forward to it with great anticipation. In Jesus' name, amen.